Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A text from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." This is our text. You have to be willing to make the direct, audacious ask. You have to be willing to make the direct, audacious ask. That's an idea that you could put into practice. Why not ask? I mean, really. Is there a downside to asking? Sure, you might get no for an answer, or not yet. But you'll never get yes unless you ask. And please don't preface it by saying, "You're probably going to say no, but I wanted to ask you anyway." Don't do that. That sounds like manipulation. Just ask. The writer and consultant Aaron Wren calls the direct, audacious ask a practical, actionable idea. It's something you can do. And I'm sure that there are countless ways that we could put this into practice in our own daily lives, including at home, at work, and elsewhere. Good communication involves asking. We can't read each other's minds. Asking is certainly better than assuming, or stewing, or living in resignation, or trying to drop hints, or waiting for the other person to figure it out on their own. For my own part, I'll just be honest here, I don't think I'm very good at asking, and I'd like to get better at it. Even the direct, audacious ask. Now I want to take this idea of the direct, audacious ask and first consider one recent example from our church life, and then I want to move into how this applies with prayer. As I mentioned at the beginning of service, and I know some have come a little later, today we're celebrating with six of our youth, Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana, as they receive their first Holy Communion. It's a really big day for them, for their families, and for us. They've been preparing for this through classes at church and study and discussion at home. But it might not be happening today if someone hadn't been so bold as to ask. Or I should say, if someone's hadn't asked. I don't remember the first time, but I can say for a fact that my son Simeon had been asking about Holy Communion and about the communion class for months, maybe even a year or more before we started on March 30th. There were a couple of other parents as well, and their children who asked too. And what a beautiful thing to ask for, that these youth were asking for the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing to desire the forgiveness that he offers here. So to you six, I want to say, ask, and today you receive. Those who receive Holy Communion here at Our Savior are first taught and examined and then brought through confession and absolution. We take this gift really seriously. We believe what the Bible says about Holy Communion and what Jesus says when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." It's a powerful gift, powerfully good for those who believe, and yet a powerful judgment for those who are unprepared. It also expresses the unity in the faith. And what this means for many of you today who are guests and visitors is this. We want to be united with you in the faith. And we sincerely desire to enjoy this precious gift together with you. And if you desire the same, then simply ask. And I'd be delighted to talk with you, to teach you, to examine and absolve you with Christ's forgiveness. And in the meantime, you are welcome to come forward with your arms crossed over your chest for a blessing. Now for the second part, how this direct, audacious ask applies to prayer. As helpful as asking can be in our earthly relationships, and it is so important in our earthly relationships, our gospel reading takes this into a higher key. It starts with a direct, audacious ask from one of Jesus' disciples. Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. I love how direct this disciple is, how bold. There's a request for us. He sees Jesus kneeling in prayer, and he says, I want that. So how are you going to get it? Ask. If we want to know how to ask, then ask Jesus for help. If we want to know how to pray, then start with this prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we might think that prayer is a natural, inborn part of how we human creatures were made. And I'd say yes and no. Yes, human beings have a deep, natural sense that there's a higher power out there of some sort. And we sort of know how to pray, but not really. Not like Jesus prays. Because in our fallen state, we don't know the true God, and we don't know how to speak with him. We do know some things. We know how to make a show of praying to be seen by others. We know how to heap up empty phrases, thinking that we will be heard for our many words. But by nature, we don't know how to pray as dear children asking a dear Father. We can only learn that from Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And this is what Jesus teaches. He says, when you pray, say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. I'm sure you recognize these words as a version of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. This is Luke's version. Matthew is the one who gives us the version that we pray every Sunday. But the gist is the same. So when they say, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus puts the direct, audacious ask right into their mouths. What are we to ask for? For God's name to be holy among us. For God's kingdom to come to us also. For daily bread, the support and needs of our bodies, and for the forgiveness of sins, the support and needs of our souls. And for help in the midst of temptation. For those five things, Jesus simply says, do it. Ask. Put your request before the Father, his Father who is now our Father as well. But how can we ask? We know our sin. It's ever before us. We know how weak our faith is. We're reminded of it on a daily basis. How can we, I, you, be so bold as to approach the throne room of God the Father? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus was so bold, direct, and audacious, both in what he asked and in what he did. Consider this direct, audacious ask as he's being crucified, hanging there, bleeding and dying, spikes in his wrists, a crown of thorns on his head, flayed in his back and his front. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is that an amazing prayer or what? Direct, audacious, and do you remember who he was praying for? He was praying for those who nailed him to the cross. He was praying for those whose sins put him there. He was praying for us. And he was so bold as to offer his own life for us, giving his holy body and his precious blood on the cross. He was so bold to ask his Father to hear our prayers as if they come from him. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, which means that our older brother is seated at the right hand of the Father, which means that we've got a direct line. If we don't make the direct, audacious ask, what are we thinking? Why wouldn't we, when Jesus has promised to take our prayers and bring them before his Father? Our prayers for what? Jesus told this little parable. I mean, it's delightful, though a little bit unwieldy in terms of the way it's translated. But he talks about a man who has a friend that comes to visit him. So you have a friend who comes to visit you and says, "Hey, I need a little help. Here's what I'm going through in my life." And you open your cupboard and you realize that you've got nothing to help them. So what do? You go knock on your neighbor's door. You say to your neighbor, "Hey, a friend showed up and I've got nothing to give him. Can you spare something for me?" And even if it's the middle of the night, because you keep pounding, not because the neighbor loves you, but just to make you go away, he'll toss a loaf of bread out the window to you so you can share it with your friend. Kind of a funny little story that Jesus tells, and this is the way I picture it. Someone comes to you, and they have a need. They've got cancer. Their marriage is falling apart. Money is running tight. And you open your cupboard, and you discover that you have no cure for cancer, nothing that you can do to make their marriage succeed, and not enough money to float them alone. So what do? You knock on the door of heaven. You turn to the one who has everything. You take your neighbor's needs to your Father and you say, "Look, I've got nothing, but I know that you've got what they need." You can be bold, direct, and audacious in your asking. Even when your cupboard is bare, you know the one who made everything. So just go ahead and bring that need through Christ to him. And that's what Abraham did in our Old Testament reading. It's a little snapshot from Genesis 18 of what's going to happen. The angel of the Lord looks down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and talks about the judgment that is coming. And Abraham is distressed because that's where his nephew and his nephew's family live. And so Abraham asks, "Hey God, you know, if there are 50 people down there who are believing, 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, you're not gonna destroy it then, will you?" And he says, "No." Then Abraham says, "Well, what if there's just 45? You're gonna destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?" And God says, "No." And Abraham keeps going, "Well, how about 30? How about 20? And if I may be so bold," he says, "if there are only 10 righteous souls, will you spare them?" And God says, "Go away." No. He says, "Yes, I will spare them." Abraham is bold to ask exactly what he desires. And although there were not 10 righteous people, God did rescue Lot and his wife and his daughters out of those cities. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So the first question, and maybe I'll remember to ask this when it comes to pastoral care. First question should be, have you asked? I mean, really, have you asked? Whatever it is that's on your heart and your mind, whatever need you have in your own life or you see in the life of someone near you, have you asked him? I don't mean so much with like a blank check, God help me win the lotto or something like that. It's not just God being a doting grandfather saying, oh, you can have whatever you want. But with faith in Jesus, we can be bold in our requests. So don't hold back. And yeah, maybe it'll be a little bit silly what we ask. Maybe it's not something that would be good for me. He'll know. He's not going to answer a prayer that's going to harm you. I promise you that. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think this is the greatest surprise of all to me. In this whole long section about prayer, Jesus tells us that we are to ask for the Holy Spirit. He is the answer to our prayers. The Holy Spirit is the one who alone, through God's word, creates faith that we would believe in Jesus and strengthens that faith in us. That's what he's been doing in our 6 young people through their classes. And the Holy Spirit brings with him the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you can't find something in that list that you need, for which you can ask your Father in heaven, then either you're a saint or you haven't looked closely enough. Ask and it will be given to you. And here's my ask now, direct and audacious of you, not so much our guests and visitors, though you're welcome to do this as well, but for our members. Here's my ask of you. I ask you to pray daily for me, for us, and for our congregation. Pray that the word would sound forth from here into our communities and our surrounding area. Pray about this idea that's bounced around a little bit in our semi-annual meeting about a church planting or a preaching station, or how do we make Christ known? Pray for faithfulness for me in my work. Pray that other beloved sinners would kneel with us and receive his grace and mercy. Husbands and wives, parents and children, individuals, pray. And what if you've never prayed before? Just say this: Lord, teach us to pray. And make your direct, audacious ask. For the one who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus. Amen.